Well, good morning, everyone. It is really nice to see so many of you here. We have a great service. And it also happens to be the 4th of July, our Independence Day as a country. While we are grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy in our country, please, the focus we want to have today is, what is true freedom like? It comes only through Christ. Our citizenship is actually in heaven, according to Scripture. But we celebrate the freedoms that we've enjoyed in this country. We often think about our country's freedom, and we look back to that tremendous document we call the Declaration of Independence. July 4th, 1776, it was signed. Yet, that wasn't the end of things. These guys just put their signature on the document. People got excited about it being a new country. It wasn't that smooth. In fact, it got very, very difficult. But what I want to share isn't so much a declaration of independence, but to have true freedom. Not the kind that's in our government or in any other government system, because those things can shift and change. True freedom, described in Scripture, comes from not a declaration of independence, but a declaration of dependence. So we're not independent of what Christ has done, but we're dependent upon Him. Now, there is a moment in history when the leaders of our young country were in terribly difficult situations. In 1777, this is a full year after the independent document had been signed, that declaration was declared, and the men that led our country were in turmoil because they were losing, and it looked hopeless. In fact, September of this year, 1777, Brandywine happened. If you aren't a history buff, you won't know this, but Washington lost people, soldiers, in a big defeat. 200 of them were killed. 500 more were wounded. There went 700. And another 400 were captured. So his army went down. What was left of his ammunition was soaked. What was left of his army was destitute. They did not have what they needed. And it was just miserable. John Adams wrote, "The prospect is chilling on every side, gloomy, dark, melancholy, dispiriting." It was probably the darkest period of the Revolution. And when the British moved into Philadelphia, the Continental Congress, all 54 of those guys, that was the only leadership we really had in our country, they bolted. And they were having plans to reassemble in York, Pennsylvania. And in this upheaval that was going on, we find a cousin of John Adams, Samuel Adams. That's the guy in the picture. He was not overwhelmed. He was not discouraged. He was undaunted. This 55-year-old statesman was called the a moral conscience of the American Revolution. Another historian said he was the greatest single force in bringing on and maintaining the struggle for independence. Even Thomas Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, called Samuel Adams the patriarch of American liberty. All this to say, what's not known is that his faith was anchored solidly in Christ. He was a devoted follower, right in the Word. He was on the run a lot. He wrote to his wife, Elizabeth, Betsy, and he wrote this, "I pray God to protect you in these perilous times from every kind of evil. The name of the Lord," says in Scripture, "is a strong tower. Thither the righteous flee and are safe." That's the verse. Proverbs 18:10. "Let us secure his favor," he goes on to his wife, "and he will thus lead us through the journey in this life and at length receive us into a better one." He truly believed this. He was anchored to it, and then he wrote to his wife saying, "No, this is worth hanging on to. When everything else is going south, just gone to ruin, really hang on to this truth." Oh, that Continental Congress, when they did get together in York, only 20 of them showed up. And they were bewildered. They were lost. They're saying, "What do we do now? We don't even have all the guys. We're losing the ability to communicate efficiently. And one by one, they were speaking on this, and Samuel Adams speaks last, and he draws them back saying, do not be discouraged. I wish I had time to record this excerpt that I got from him, but he spoke about the confidence in God that he had, and that God was directing in the affairs of our country and would surely see them through. Don't be overwhelmed. If you're overwhelmed, then our people will be overwhelmed. Americans will give up on the thinking that they would even have a cause to support if you are gloomy and downcast and you've lost perspective here. He said, God's given us our version of a pillar by day, a cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. Every time we felt like we were out, God's providential hand raised us up and put us back on track. Don't doubt this. The name of the Lord. What's in that name? It's a strong name. It's the character of God. Oh my goodness. When you see it in your scripture and it's capital L-O-R-D, that's Yahweh. That's the name by which God told Moses back in Exodus days. I'm the one. What was it about his character? What do you know about the character of God? It doesn't change ever. It's perfect loving compassion. That idea of loving kindness, or hesed, is so prevalent in the Old Testament as it relates to God and his dealings with people. And then he's full of compassion. Oh, he's just. But he's perfect in his justice. He never changes. He never is fickle that way. He doesn't have a bad day. The name of the Lord, it's the character. Complete holiness. Complete dependability all the time. I love that. Well, what's the metaphor here? A strong tower. Yes, if you're building a strong tower, what are you doing it for? Well, you could say, so I can see a long ways away, a panoramic view. Yeah, I suppose you could. In fact, they put towers in the walls of city walls just to see out a little further to see if it were possible to see someone coming in to attack. And sometimes they built these towers to store goods, keep them secure, because it's easier if you have just one narrow entrance to defend that than if it's spread out over even a building or a fort or anything. And so they would build these. But in Bible times, it's largely a defensive thing. And it's spoken of with great confidence that that place of security is in that strong tower. We know the towers are good for that, and yet there are some that kind of crash around us. The people that live in Surfside in that condo had great confidence in there. Do you know that building had withstood hurricane force winds before? It's really a strong tower until something happens. We thought our twin towers were strong. In fact, in New York City, remember 93? Some of you were alive then. You remember this bomb that went off in the lower end of it. A lot of damage was done on that area, but nothing brought those towers down until something brought the towers down. The point is that when we think about the strong tower, the metaphor for this, we've got to tie it into security. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The security is unbelievably encouraging. David uses these words in Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. Oh, strength, rock, fortress, refuge, stronghold. He keeps going on. That stronghold again shows up in the next passage in Psalm 27. It's there. What did Jesus say? Everything we know about that Father Yahweh is pictured for us in Jesus. He is the image of the firstborn, the invisible God. The image of the invisible God. And when he tells his disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Don't worry about me showing you the Father, Philip. I and my Father are one. And what did he say? When I have you in my hand, I give unto them eternal life. They will never perish. Oh, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one's able to take them out of my Father's hand. Nobody can snatch them away. Paul had this confidence as well. And he said, you know, I'm in trouble. I'm an apostle. I'm a preacher and teacher. That's why I'm facing the trouble. But I know whom I believe. I am convinced that he is able to guard that which has been entrusted to me until that day. The confidence is there all the way through. And then, for us, there are so many things. I'm going to flash these up here. We don't have time to unpack them all. Let your mind go on this idea. The tower is here. It's high. It's free and from the dangerous spots down below. In fact, we could probably cut to the chase real quickly by saying, anybody ever been around a really young child and a really big dog? Even if that dog is as friendly and as gentle as can be, the size difference makes most kids nervous. And so they're running to find mom or dad. And if you happen to be there and mom and dad aren't there, chances are that kid, if he's afraid of that dog, will climb right up you. Want to be picked up, kicking those legs up. And when you hold them here, they're climbing higher. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but that happens. Well, the higher up you are, the greater distance between the danger. That's the picture of the Lord being our strong tower. What is captivating your attention? What is derailing your focus? This says we've got all kinds of benefits. We are free from the curse of the law. We don't have to be anxious. That Isaiah passage says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because you trust. He trusts in you. Therefore, trust the Lord, the next verse says. And this list goes on. We won't even get to scratch all of this. My point in dropping this in is whatever is attacking you mentally, you feel at odds, just go back over the scriptures that are there and say, oh, but this is true. God has cared for us in an unbelievable way. That's what I want to leave here. The message, though, is this. That security, that righteousness, the righteous run to it, and we don't get there on our own. But we have got to think about what Christ has provided for us. You've had the visual here reminding us of the spilt blood, of the body that was sacrificed for us. And you see the change. You heard from Romans 8 a few moments ago, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. But what gets us to that spot is understanding that we needed the Savior. It's the gospel story. I trust that whatever else you think about today or tomorrow, some of you have a day off because of the Monday holiday focus on Independence Day, just let those things also shift your focus and say, but I have true freedom. Our country might go someplace someday. I don't have any idea what God's got planned. But I know this, true freedom doesn't depend upon our American government. And so there are people with true freedom that live in China, that live in those hot spots. Indonesia is another one. There are people that have that security that live in a pagan culture where nothing is talked about for God. And people in America that think they have freedom are missing the freedom that Jesus was talking about because they haven't gone there, looking to Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith. That's the encouragement we want to drop into your minds today. I take that with you. Rejoice in all that God has given us. Let's pray. Father, these little moments thinking about such an important concept. It's what gave Samuel Adams the confidence. He knew the strong tower. He knew your name. He set his course out of that, and I'm grateful for that example. But thank you for the clarity of your word that says that's not just for Revolutionary War days. That's for 2021. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.